Got it. Okay, let's learn. It's been a long time since the last shiur. We were supplementing our learning of the first Torah in Eretz HaKodesh with a Torah from the Kavatzim from Rav Kook, where he speaks about how there's no such thing as symbolism in Yiddishkeit. The Torah is a living Torah. It's not a symbol of anything. It's not a The mitzvahs are not symbols. The Yiddishkeit is not a symbol. It's a living, breathing organism. Now, before we move on to the second Torah, I felt that it's important to explain a little bit more, to talk about this a little bit more. So if you have the Eretz HaKodesh, we're not going to go back to the Kavatzim. Just if you could look in the Eretz HaKodesh, the first Torah that you have, that we began with, because we're going to be referring back to that a few times now during this, the next few minutes. Look at the Eretz HaKodesh. That means that the actual Torah that we've been doing, the Eretz HaKodesh. Because I think that it's important that before we leave this, it's such a tremendous insight in all of Yiddishkeit that I felt that we need to use this yisod to understand some very basic, from some very basic things. Now you know that Chazal revealed to us that there are Memches Devarim, there are 48 ways or 48 things that are necessary in order for a person to acquire the Torah. The 48 Kinyanim that's in Pirkei Avos at the end, that the Torah is Niknas Behem. Now imagine if there was a list of 48 ways for a person to be able to acquire physics or biology or literature, and you had to make a list of 48 Darchei HaKinyan. What would be the 48 ways of Kinyan? How a person should be able to acquire the Chachma of physics. So what would be some of those things? Probably a number of things that are on the list, Lahavdol of Torah as well. A certain type of hasmada, being a person that's consistent and studies hard and works hard, right? These would be maybe even somebody that gets a good night's sleep, so you should be able to be able to have a clear mind for your studies and so on. There'd be a lot of things that would be necessary for a person to be successful in acquiring any chachma. What's extraordinary about the list that we have in Pirkei Avos regarding the 48 ways to acquire Torah is that many of those 48 are ben adam l'chaveru. So imagine if it said that if you really, really want to understand physics, you have to be a nice guy. If you really, really want to do well in organic chemistry, you have to have a giving heart, which is one of the things. Try to have that conversation with your supervisor in school, with your professor. Or even do better and say that, you know, Dr. So-and-so, I noticed that you don't seem to have a Ruach Shvela, which is one of the 48, to have a humble spirit. So I don't really trust what you're teaching is really, is accurate, because you don't have a Ruach Shvela. You don't have a Ruach Shvela. You go to the other classroom, you're angry with all your teachers. You go to the other classroom, you're taking a course in economics, in micro or macro, whatever. You're taking a course in economics, and you say, Professor so and so, you don't seem to be a person that has a lev tov. which is one of the 48 Kinyan, you don't seem to be a person that has a life tov. I can't trust what you're teaching in economics as being accurate. So you understand that they throw you out as being some sort of a mishigna. And the professor would tell you, it's an afkimin. If I have a good heart, I don't have a good heart. I have a nefesh nediva, I have a leif toiv, I have ruach shvela, it's an afkimin. What I have, what kind of person and how I am. Because when it comes to those subjects, the one requirement that is there is seichel, is the mind, is the intellect. Therefore, in order that your mind be functioning properly, you need to get a good night's sleep. So that could be one of the kinyanim. You need to be somebody that's very studious and so on, and you're able to have zitzfleisch, to sit for hours and to be in the library. All of the things that would enhance your intellectual capacity would be included in those kinyanim of how to acquire physics or economics. But certainly not midas. What does midas have to do with anything? So we need to ask ourselves, what's the connection, Taki, between kinyan ha-Torah, acquiring Torah, understanding of Blat Gemara, understanding of Chumash Rashi? What's the connection between acquiring Torah and midas? And in addition to that, let's try another conversation with the professor. So let's say you've been taking this class in political science for the last 3 months, right? And after 3 months of this class, you raise your hand and you say, Professor, yes, I'm in this class for 3 months. I don't find that it's making me a better person. I don't find that I'm speaking differently to my parents, or I don't find that I have a better relationship with God or anything like that. So the professor says, what's that? I'm teaching you political science. We're talking about legislature, executive. We're talking about branches of government. So nafkimina, why do you think that if you study about the three branches of the United States government, that that's going to make you into a better person, make you into a more educated person, into a more worldly person, to a more knowledgeable person? But it's not going to make you into a better person. That's obvious. And yet, we see that when it comes to Limud Torah, not only in order to acquire Torah, but it goes in the other way as well. That through Limud Torah, one should become a much better person. I'm not just talking about being more religious and having longer tzitzis and a thicker tichel or something. I'm talking about being a better person, being somebody that has a ruach shveila, a ruach nemucha, and a leif toiv. The fact that we don't always see that means there's something very, very wrong with how the Torah is being learned. Not that the Torah doesn't do that, but there's something very wrong with how people are studying Torah. We'll talk about that at the end, maybe. But there's yachasei gomlin. There is obviously a connection between limud Torah, which is an intellectual enterprise, learning Torah, studying Torah, and being a nice person, and all the other things that are the midas that make up a person who's a bal midas tovus. So what Rav Kook is telling us in this first Torah, and we'll go into some of the places back, we'll go in a few minutes. What Rav Kook is telling us is that, of course, there's an intellectual component to Limud Torah, obviously. There's an intellectual part of it. But that's not what the Torah is. The Torah, Rav Kook is telling us over here, over and over, is the Torah is Mimkor Chaye Chaim Heimboim. The Torah is life. The Torah is life. When we say the words Kihem Chayeno, it doesn't just mean we learn a lot. Kihem Chayeno, anybody who thinks that Kihem Chayeno is something that was reserved for Rav Yosef Zichron Levach, because he was able to sit and learn for like 20 hours a day or something, 22 hours a day. And so he could say, he was the only one in the whole world that could really say, Kihem Chayeno Rechimeno, but the rest of us loves, I learn an hour a day, a half hour a day. So how could I say, honestly, Kihem Chayeno? What does that mean? Kihi Chayecha V'aruch Yemecha. What does that mean? It's my life. It's a half hour of my day that I study Torah. It's an hour of my day that I have the schus to study Torah. That's not my life. No, the mitzias of Torah is the Torah is, that's what Rav Kook is saying, it's Torah calling Yonah HaKadosh from Koach HaChaim Heim Boim. In other words, all of the chachmas of the world, economics and so on, physics, all the chachmas of the world are b'tchum hamachshava v'ha'iyun. You understand? They exist in the realm of the intellect, of thinking, of thought, of studying, and so on. When Rav Kook is telling us, when the Navi tells us, when he's saying davening, kehem chayenu, it means that Torah is not a subject. Torah is not, and if one studies it as a subject, which unfortunately many people do, who could outsmart the Chavrus, who could outsmart the Rebbe, who could get a prize for finishing something, and so on and so forth. When a person studies Torah with that reality of it being kihem chayenu v'arachimenu, that it's not a subject, but it's life itself, it means that I believe b'emuna shleima, and a person should think this every time you sit down and you open up a sefer, that I believe b'emuna shleima, that I believe with full faith, that when I open up this sefer, whether it's in halacha, or it's in chumash, or navi, or it's in chassidus, or musa, whatever it is, that when I open up this sefer, and I'm learning this sefer, there's an or elyon, I am now plugging into an or elyon, a makif, an all-encompassing reality that's called Torah, that purifies, that ennobles, not like economics or political science. And not only that, but the other way as well, a person, what Chazal are telling us with these 48 kinyanim, many of those which are humility and a good heart and so on, when Chazal are telling us that you have to acquire the Torah and you need to be a good-hearted, humble person and so on, what Chazal are telling us is that a person who's a mushchas b'midais, somebody who's midas, there's another reason why you could be very, very smart, and it doesn't mean that you're going to come out to be Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein was Rav Moshe Feinstein. If you ever met him, which I was lucky to meet him around 6 or 7 times to see him, Rav Moshe Feinstein was the humblest Jew, like Moshe Rabbeinu, that was the humblest person on the earth. He was the humblest person. Anav mikol adam shal pnei adam. The Kinyanim are saying that since Torah is not a subject, it's not a subject like economics. Torah is life itself. We'll talk about a little bit more what that means in a minute. That in order for you to acquire that, in order for you to be a kli, a vessel, that's able to receive this or elyon, it's a gift. This great supernal light of the Torah, you have to have a leif toiv. You have to be a person that has ruach shvela, that's of humble spirit. You have to be such a person. Because when it comes to Torah, it's not just about the mind being opened and ready to receive. It's not just about the seichel. When it comes to biology or chemistry, if your seichel is a good seichel, and the seichel is open, and you had a good night's sleep, and your seichel is ready to go, so your seichel is makabel, the chemistry. Or it's makabel, the biology. If your seichel is a good seichel, it's makabel. You can memorize, you can think, you can reason, whatever it is. But when it comes to Torah, it's something very, very odd. It's strange. If the heart is a heart that's closed to other Jews, to other people, or to plants, or to animals. If the heart is a heart that's shut, that's closed. If a person has chalila, a nefesh atuma, you know, like you have a cheder atum, like a room that has to be, necessarily you have to have a place that's sealed room, right? So if you have a sealed heart, a nefesh atuma, if a person has nefesh atuma, he can never ever receive the aura of Torah. He could say, oh, some smart stuff, and he could look smart, and he could, maybe he could impress some people at a Sheva Brachas, you know, say something, or at a drasha. I remember when Rav Schwartz, years ago, was here the first time, the author of Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, he's a very, very intense and big tzaddik, and like, it's hard to be his friend. So, I've tried. He's very, very strong, very intense, and exceptionally brilliant. So he caused the whole commotion. He was never in America before. He's a real Eretz Yisrael Tiki Yid, and he's been immersed in Kedusha for many years. And he caused a tremendous commotion. And there were all kinds of kashas that you could ask, but what happened was that he was out of town because the people had arranged this trip. He was here, the first place he was here, and this is where his base was Neish Kaidish. And he spoke to the Olam. Some of you were there a number of times. He only speaks Lashon Kodesh, and he spoke a number of times. And then the people who arranged his trip had arranged for him to speak in a certain out of town. And he went to a shul. It happens that I know the rabbi there. I know who he is. I've met him once or twice. So Rav Schwartz was there, and there was a whole island that came to hear the author of Bilvavi Mishkan Evna speak. And the rabbi got up to make an introduction. And it was complete and total buffoonery, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, a man that has made such a... Whatever, it was that kind of rabbinical stuff. And Rav Schwartz got up and he left. He just got up and he left. He told me about it. I asked him, like, I said, what'd you do? I mean, the people brought you there and they, you know... He just got up and he walked out. And the people that were arranging it... They ran out to him and it says, are you okay? Everything. And he says, Ani lo yachol, Ani lo yachol, Lashad. Hu yachol, Hu yazov, Ani, if the rabbi leaves, I'll talk to the Yidden, I'll talk to the Jews. But if he's there, I'm not talking. That's what he said. And he didn't. They couldn't tell the rabbi to leave him. They just had to say something about what happened, but I wasn't feeling well. And I spoke to him about it. And he said, I hegashti kazet tuma v'shiflus, Ani lo yacholti ledaber b'makom hazeh. As he said, and it happens, I know this person, and it's a big charade. This whole rabbinical thing is a big charade. And he said, I said, but you're mevaza these Jews, and I told him, you're mevaza Jews that came out that night to learn Torah. He says, I'll make it up to them, and I'll come and I'll talk to each one. He said separately, I'll meet with them. I'll do whatever I can. I know it's not a good thing. Lo yacholti. I could not be in the room with this person. That's for a professor of Jewish ethics, right? Something different. Because he felt that this was something, a kli that was not a kli of Torah, and he felt like as an emergency he has to escape from this place. And again, could you ever imagine such a thing that could be with any secular subject in the world, could be such a thing, such a metzias? It can't be such a metzias. Because what Rav Kook is teaching us here is that if a person is, what Chazal are telling us, that if the lev is not a lev tov, if the heart is not a good heart, if a person has a nefesh atuma, if it's a bal gaiva, especially when it comes to conceit and to arrogance, that when it comes to such a thing of conceit, or arrogance befrat, all of these midas, but especially when it comes to conceit and arrogance, it's not possible that this person should be a kli for Torah. He could go around imitating, impersonating, repeating, because it could be a smart person, and he's able to say, you know, some stuff that he read, and he's able to say it over. It could be he's a lamdan, but he's not going to change people's lives. It's not going to uplift or change people's lives. And he himself will never be able to be matzliach to have a kesher with Torah that's a kesher shel kayama, because the Torah won't reside in that person. The Torah simply won't. The Torah says, Rav Schwartz says, I'm not coming over here. So the Torah says, I'm not going over here. I'm not coming over here. Remember years ago there was a whole thing with a certain very modern yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael that they invited. Well, they invited, but it had, maybe they didn't have a choice, whatever the matzav was, but there were galochim that came from Europe, priests that came from Europe. I mean, like the real religious ones with the whole, you know, Shemana Begadim, everything. And they came from Europe, and they were going to spend a day or two studying Talmud with the yeshiva boys in this yeshiva, studying Talmud. It was written up in the newspapers, the whole thing. The word that came out from the yeshiva and from the boys is that, and these are all very smart people, these are big, very successful galochim, you understand? These are all like not just, they're not just like, in a, each one has not just a shtiebel, they have like a whole malchus, you understand? This is the Archbishop of the Antarctic, I don't know what, but they're like big, big galochim. And they come there and they're learning with 18-year-old boys, and all the boys were saying, Shachakop, I can't learn with the guy. The guy that can't understand a sentence in the Gemara. And they're doing with them in English, you know, it's like they can understand the language, but they can't have, they understand the Gemara. And it was a whole thing that there was interesting conversations that were going on about that whole mice that happened with the Galoch. And there's a certain spiritual ben avon chaver prerequisite that when it comes to Limud HaTorah, the Torah has to feel welcomed in this person. The Torah has to feel that, oh, this is a good place. Po ivisicha, and like by the Beis HaMikdash, here I want to dwell. Here I want to be. The Shekhinah is not going to New York. Of course, the Shekhinah is everywhere, but Yerushalayim is there. The Baruch Hashem says, oh, this is my place. This is the place. It's the same thing when it comes to a human being in Torah. When it comes to a human being in Torah, if a person has not cleaned out stuff, if a person is cluttered with all kinds of tumah, chlila, and especially when it comes to gaiva, to conceit, and Hashem says, the Torah is not an Indian of the seichel. The Torah is a hisgalus of elokus. It's our elyon. Like Rav Kook writes over here, it's an exalted supernal light of God Himself. And because of that, a person has to be a kli hogun. He has to be a worthy vessel to receive such a light. Now, that doesn't mean that a person has to be perfect. We're not there. It doesn't mean that unless you're a Moshe Feinstein, you can't understand. That's not what it means. But you have to be in the parasha. You have to be a person who cares about being better. You have to be a person that wants to be Baal Midas, that's trying to have a Lev Tov, that's trying to be humble. The Baruch Shalom works with us. It's not like, I'm not gonna talk to you unless you're perfect. That's not true. Because the Torah is when Hashem speaks to us. And He's not saying, I'm not going to talk to you unless you're a Moshe Feinstein. That's Chas V'Shalom. Hashem shall talk to you also, but Kolapach, I mean, something, you know. Like, work on yourself. Something. Atikin HaMidas. And that's why Chazal are telling us these kinyonim. These are kinyonim of how to acquire Torah. It's not just miut shena, you know, sleeping less. Of course you have to sleep less. You have to be a person that works hard to acquire Torah. But if you don't have a leif tov, then the Torah is not able to find a home in such a person. In other words, learning Torah, Rav Yeshiver, Rav Soloveitchik used to say this, that learning Torah is an encounter, you know? It's a meeting. It's a meeting with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a meeting with Elokus. It's not like any other subject. If a person is studying economics, you don't have to meet Milton Friedman, you understand? Although, I'm sure it would have been a nice thing to meet him. But you don't have to meet him. You could read Milton Friedman's book and you could become a maven in economics. You have to meet the one who was Megala, this Yesod. But when it comes to Torah, you have to be a person that can meet Moshe Rabbeinu. If you're saying over Torah from Rabbi Akiva, you have to be a person that you wouldn't be embarrassed to stand in front of Rabbi Akiva. It's not so pashut. There were chassidim that before they went to see the Rebbe, they would fast the entire day. You know that. You don't. So when you're opening up a Gemara, really we shouldn't be eating at all the time. You're about to meet Abaye and Rava. You're about to meet Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, a klinikai. It's a small thing. You're opening up Tehillim, David HaMelech, Reb David, Reb David, Usmachman, Reb David, Reb David HaMelech could say to you, who are you? These are not psalms. These are Tehillim. These are Tehillim, David HaMelech Yisrael, and Himes Mirs Yisrael. And that's what Rav Kook is talking about in this Torah. I just want to very much to work on this, to bring this home. It should be clear. It's such an important Yisrael. What Rav Kook is saying here is that the Torah is not an inanimate, lifeless piece of information. It's life. That's what it is. And it has a chiyus, it has a heart, it has a soul, it has ramach evam shesagidim. The Torah. That's why the 248, 365 corresponds to the body. The Torah is a living, breathing mitzvahs. On the surface, and this is something which people who haven't learned Torah, I'm talking about not Jews, who haven't learned throughout their lives, they weren't zayich to be raised with Torah, and they're now coming into the world of Torah, it's something which it requires a tremendous adjustment. It's a different way of thinking. It's a different way of living. And the other thing that any person, who, let's say these galochim, one of the things that they were very, very taken by when they came to the Beis HaMedrash is how everybody's screaming and yelling. Which if you do that in the library where the professor is teaching, they would have you escorted out of the library. Can you imagine sitting in the library in a university, you're sitting someplace in Harvard or Princeton in the library and you have a chavrusa in economics? And the two of you start yelling, and you get up, and you say, you're an idiot, you know what you're talking about. Like, this goes on every conversation of Beis HaMedrash. You're not Maoritz. Your father's not Maoritz. People yell at each other such crazy things. Can you imagine you being in some college? They'd right away come over to you, and they'd escort you out. They'd say, what do you think this is? This the marketplace or something? What are you arguing here? What are you yelling about? Because all other information in the world, it's not alive. And because it's not alive, in other words, the economics book is dead. Milton Friedman is dead, and economics is dead. No. Political science, you're reading political theory, Voltaire is dead, Rousseau is dead, Hobbes is dead, Gustave, Alles Gustave. These guys are all dead. And the book itself is a book that is dead. You know how many times I've spoken to Hever about the mistake that many of you make, I don't mean you in the room, but many people make by davening from a telephone. Or if you don't have a choice, I understand. If you're someplace you don't have a siddur, you have to daven from. Or to learn Torah from a phone or from a computer. We don't know yet the effects of learning Torah from a computer. I'm not talking about looking something up. It's a tremendous advantage to have a computer to look something up than how to use it. I'm saying someone that sits and learns Keseder from a computer. A Siddur is something which is alive. It breathes. Every Siddur is alive. A Sefer is something which is alive. Torah wants to be learned also through a medium that's a living medium, not through a dead medium. That's why the best thing is to learn Torah from the Rebbe, from the teacher who's alive and teaching you in the room, not just by listening to tapes. And of course, you don't have a choice, and it's gewaldig. It's gewaldig, a thing we have in our generation. People can listen to Torah wherever they are, and they can listen to every shir. It's an amazing thing. I'm not saying chas v'chalila, anything against that. It's the most amazing. It changed the whole world. But l'chadchila, that's not what the Baruch Shalom is saying. L'chadchila, you're supposed to sit at the feet of your teacher. The Torah is a Torah Chaim. It's given to us by Elohim Chai, by a living God, and it was meant to be learned in a way which is lebedik, which is alive. So what when it comes to economics, the human being is alive, but the subject matter is not alive. It's just a piece of information. What's unique about Torah is that Torah is a mutual like experience. You and the Sefer are both alive. That's why the truth is that you could be by yourself and screaming and yelling also. And that's how we learn also. It happened many times over the years, and my wife would come upstairs because I'd be learning upstairs, and she would say that, you know, there's somebody here that came, and you could keep it down a little bit. The person downstairs thinks that there's a whole, you know, minion upstairs of people, and it's just me screaming and yelling. And the reason for that is because when you're learning, it's a lebedik emaisa. A lebedik emaisa means that you're alive, Baruch Hashem. You're alive. And the Torah is a living thing. And even if you're by yourself, Adam Poel, Torah Poel is. The person is busy, and the Torah is busy trying to make its way into your head, and could be arguing and fighting with you that you're not being careful with my words. You're not being careful with my words. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. You know, as you're learning this Sefer, and you're saying a pshat, and then something is bothering you inside, and you're going and you're saying it over, and the Torah is talking to you. The Torah is saying, that's not, work on it harder. Work on me harder. It's not what I'm trying to tell you. You don't get it. It's like when you're talking to a friend, and the friend is trying to explain something to you, and you're saying it over, and the friend says, that's not what I'm telling you. If you don't feel that way when you're learning, you're not learning. But there's no such thing like that when you're studying a book. But when you're learning, you should feel that way. You should feel that way. You should say, Rabbi Kiva, are you okay with this? Rashi, Rabbi, is this Rabbi, is this what you're saying? Rabbi, I don't know, I'm trying. So learning Torah is with davening, is with the Rabbani Shalom, is a lebedik emaisa. Because when you're learning, you're trying to open up your mind and your heart and every part of yourself. You're trying to open up and to invite into your mind, into your heart, the infinite creator of all worlds, the light of the creator himself. There's nothing like that in the world. There's nothing at all like that in the world. And that's why Rav Kook begins, the first sentence of this Torah is Chachma Sakoidish Inala Mikol Chachma Beze Shimaha Peches Esaratsin. Only Torah can change your will, can transform you. Not just make you smarter and more informed. Or like somebody that thinks, oh, that's a good thing, maybe I should try it. Torah, regardless of what area of Torah that you're learning, it could be Halacha, it could be Gemara, it could be Navi, it could be whatever. Torah Rav Kook says, that the Torah has the ability to change one's will, one's entire being. The spiritual quality and content of the one who's studying Torah, to bring that person closer to the holiness and to the light of Torah itself. Could change you completely. There's so much chizik in this. It's the most unbelievable chizik in this. That no matter who a person is, no matter what your background is, no matter, the Torah has such a koyach, the Torah is mahapeches. Mahapeches has arasan. It could be your person your whole life, you wanted things that are not good, things that are destructive, the bad, or whatever. Your whole life is the arasan, your sinus are bad. And the Torah has the ability, lahafech has arasan. Lahafach zayrots and all the natias of one's heart, and to bring a person higher and higher, to a place that's higher and higher. And that's why when it comes to Limud HaTorah, there's a prerequisite that at least the person's in the parish of trying v'taher libeinu. Trying to purify the heart. That a person should have a strong rotzen to learn. All of these requirements you don't have stam in the world, a love of Torah. You don't have to love the subject that you're studying in order to get it. Most of the stuff that I studied in college, I detested in a deep way. I hated most of the stuff that I was studying, but I was had to study because I was going to get a test, and I had to test. So, if you're getting a test, you have to study it. I hated the subject. When it comes to the Torah says to you. You open up the Savior's thought, the Lord in the Torah says, do you love me? That's the Torah says, do you love me? And he said, what? Fiddle on the roof, right? Do I love you? The Torah's asking you, do you love me? And he said, what does that have to do with anything? I'm just trying to learn. The Torah said, oh, no. I will not talk to you unless I have your commitment to this relationship, that you love me. How is the Torah? You have asked, is there anything like that in the world? Can you imagine something? You open up a book of biology, and the biology book says, do you love me? He says, keep your mouth closed, and you don't have to do with anything. There's something wrong with it. Get a different book. Something wrong with that book. It starts talking to you. But when you open up a sefer, the sefer is asking you, do you love me? You're asking me, so what are you asking me? You're asking me, do I love Hashem? No, I'm asking you, do you love Torah? Do you love me? Do you love Avraham Gemar? Do you love? Is this something that you look forward to? Is this something you're excited about? Is this something that you dream of, the time that you have in the day to sit down with me? Is this something that really is the most important part of your day that you can't wait for? Is this really, every time you open up a sefer, the sefer is asking you that. There's nothing like that in the world. There's nothing else like that in the world. But the Torah has such an inyan with a person. You could understand it without that relationship. The same way the two people could be married and they could live till 120 and they can get along. It's a loza. You understand? It's a loza. That's not what was meant under the chuppah. That wasn't the inyan of the chuppah. It wasn't the inyan of the chuppah. And you have that many times. People can be married for 30, 40, 50 years and one says to the other one, you don't get me. You don't understand me. And the other person can say, that's true because I never tried. I never tried to understand you. I just wanted to take advantage of you and to enjoy you. I never wanted to understand you. The Torah, it's a relationship. It's hard to explain such a thing. I'm trying to put this stuff into words. If you have felt this, you know what I'm talking about. The Torah is a relationship. When Rav Shol, I've mentioned this in Shul over the years, then when Rav Yosher Ben, Rav Soloveitchik, when it was after Shiva, how he felt, he said that he didn't know how he was going to live after his wife, after the Shiva was finished. Because during the Shiva, he said it was so busy with everybody and everything. Then Shiva was over, and all of a sudden everybody left and it was quiet. And Rav Soloveitchik said, I sat there all by myself, I was alone. And the way he describes it is unbelievable. He says, I didn't know how I was going to live without Tanya, he said, without my wife. How was I going to go on living? He said, I didn't know what to do. I just sat there completely forlorn and broken, but no cheshek for anything. He said, and then I saw on the table was the Rambam. And the way he describes it, he said, Rabbi, I'm falling apart. So he says, I took the Rambam and I opened up the Rambam and I start to learn the Rambam, Rabbi. And then I see that the Ravid is fighting against the Rambam. A chutzpah, how could the Ravid argue with my Rabbi? And the Rambam, and my Rabbi says, no, Yeshabir, so then see if you could, what you could do to defend me. So he says, Rabbi, I'll try. And then he says, and that was the Ran, it was the Ramban, and it was Rabbi Yoina. And then all of a sudden he said, Lule Saras Hashashu. If not for your Torah, he said, I would be lost. There's nothing else like that in the world. Only Torah. It's a relationship, Torah. And the Rav is saying, I can't go on. I'm so lonely. I'm so broken. How can I continue? A person can sit down with a good book, with a novel, and a bag of popcorn or something, and he could maybe get lost in this story and forget about Yetzirah. It's not about forgetting Yetzirah. It's not forgetting Yetzirah. It's something different. The Torah is also, the whole Sefer Mishlei, you know, the Torah is compared to a wife. Chachmas HaTorah is like one's wife, a husband, a wife. It's something different. It's a relationship. So, because it's a relationship, it's not a matter of just getting smarter. What kind of a marriage would it be that you... two people got married because they're both very smart and they wanted to enjoy their conversations with each other. It's marriage. I mean, I'm sure there's some crazy people that have done things like that. But if the girl asks the guy, you know, he's about to propose to her, and she says, "What is it about me that you find most attractive, that you want to marry me?" And he says, "Your intellect." I don't think that's so romantic. In other words, he says, I find that when it comes to other girls, they don't really understand because I'm very, very smart, and the other girls don't really understand. So I can't carry like a good conversation about politics and about science and literature. But I find that with you, you're as smart as me, or almost as smart as me. I found that I could have such a conversation. So the girl's saying, "Oh, thank you. That's a very, very big compliment. I appreciate that. Anything else?" "No." "Do you think I'm pretty?" "I've seen better." "Do you think, what about my meters? What do I care about your meters?" It's nothing to it. That's a marriage. But it's like that with Torah marriage. It's like that with Torah. If a Jew feels about Torah that we're in this together because we're both smart, I've met many people like that. That's why Rav Schwartz ran out of the room. He's a smart guy. I know the guy. He's a smart guy. Velev Ayin. You know what it means, Velev Ayin? Without a heart. So Schwartz ran out. It's not the Torah is smart and I'm smart. There are people that learn like that. Let's see who's smart. Let's see who could say over a fancy thing. Is smart or not smart. You know that, I think most of you probably have heard, that when the Rogatchev was a young man, you know, nobody could learn about the Rogatchev. You know. The Rogatchev's mind was miraculous. There's no way to understand such a mind. Even from earlier generations, it could not be understood. Such a thing would have been a chiddush. The Rogatchev's seichel. If you don't know about that, you could maybe Google Rogatchev and find out more. But the Rogatchev's mind was something. It was a miraculous mind. Now, the Rogatchev was a kapusta chassid, which is Chabad. He was a chassid of Chabad. But he wasn't into chassidus. That wasn't his subject. But he was a Chabad chassid. A kapusta, it was a Tzemach Tzedek son. He was a Chabad chassid. But he couldn't find anybody that he could talk to in learning. The biggest guy in him where he lived, everywhere he went, he would start talking, and after 30 seconds, he was finished with them, like in Yosin Amaritz. The biggest people, Imams, they couldn't. You know that when Baron Cutler came to him, you know the story that when Baron Cutler came to him. Now, Baron Cutler was the biggest genius. When Baron Cutler came to the Rogatchev, he was told in advance, he knew not to say, when he was asked, he shouldn't say that he's the Rosh Hashiva in Kletsk. Because the second you told the Rogatchev you're Rosh Hashiva, you say, "Oh, you're Rosh Hashiva." And they'd start to talk to you, and they'd say, "Get this guy out of here." And like, so Rabbi didn't say he was Rosh Hashiva. He said, when the Rogatchev said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm a balabas from Kletsk." He said, "I'm a balabas from Kletsk." So he was in with the Rogatchev for a long time. Usually people didn't last for more than 5 minutes. They were out. And he was like for an hour and a half. And everybody was all excited. He had someone to talk to, the Rogatchev. And when he came out, so somebody went into the Rogatchev and they asked the Rogatchev, "What do you think about that young man?" He said, "Fa abala boss, I can't bisulaim." This was like, for a working guy, he could learn a little bit. Not bad, not for a working guy. For abala boss, I can't bisulaim. So when the Rogatchev was a young man, hear what I'm talking about here. When he was a young man, he couldn't learn with anybody. He could learn. He was a chavrusa with Reb Chaim Brisker, and he also threw him away. You understand? The Beis Halevi made the Rogatchev and Reb Chaim to be chavrusas, and it was like, didn't go. So the Rogatchev was looking for somebody to talk to and learning, and they told him there's a Jew in Lublin, an old Jew in Lublin. What was his name? Reb Tzadok HaKohen. There's an old chassid in Lublin, Reb Tzadok HaKohen, Ekin Gutlanen. Go talk to him and learning. You'll have pleasure. So from Rogatchev to Lublin, It could be that the Rogachev was still in Warsaw, right? He's probably in Warsaw by his father-in-law. So that's not so far. But he went to Lublin to go meet Reb Tzadok HaKohen. And Reb Tzadok HaKohen said to him, "Who are you?" And he said his name. And right away, the Rogachev went into a whole chiddush that he had. So the Reb Tzadok said, "So what do you want? What is it?" And he said over one of his amazing earth-shattering chiddushim. And he was waiting to get into this fight with Reb Tzadok. And Reb Tzadok said to him, "Young man, when I was your age, I was smarter than you. But I want to tell you something. What I've learned as an older man, there's no tachlis just to go to the feet of the students of the Baal Shem Tov and to drink from their waters." That's what he said. Reb Tzadok said. Reb Tzadok wasn't saying to him that he doesn't enjoy talking and learning. Reb Tzadok loved talking and learning. But he saw something in the Rogachev that was not what should be, and he wanted to give him that. So he said, "Listen to me. Go to the students of the Baal Shem Tov, the Talmid Baal Shem, and go to their feet and drink from their waters." That's what Reb Tzadok told the Rogachev, and he refused to talk to him and learning. He didn't talk to him and learning. Nope. That was the first time the Rogachev was thrown out. For a different reason. Now, we're not allowed to say any kind of hasharas about the Rogachev, but the Reb Tzadok felt that something is not the way it should be. I don't know if the Rogachev changed anything after that. We have no historical records of anything about that. But this story from Reb Tzadok and the Rogachev is one that's well known. How he came to he made a pilgrimage to Lublin. But this is what this whole thing that Rav Kook is talking about. That the Torah has this tchuna hamif'olis, this active quality. That's why I look at the very last line of the Torah. He's speaking about the other chachmas. He said, "V'alken eni michon gam lasis is a haigavam lebriya chadasha." All other subjects can't make a person into a new human being. Le'akar oisay me'atzmius tunaisav haros. It can't take him out of his bad midas, his attributes, whatever. Ula amida b'matzav shel metzius chadasha. The Torah can be mamad a person in a new metzius, a metzius chadasha. Who yiftach li beinu b'saroso means through Torah. Who yiftach li beinu svasema says b'saroso means help me Hashem that through my learning Torah my heart should be open. I have a closed heart. I don't have such a good heart. But who yiftach li beinu b'saroso v'yosem li beinu ahavoso v'yiroso. But through my limud Torah, through learning Torah in a sincere way, it's not too late for my heart to be opened. And how could this be? So in the middle of the Tari says, "V'tama davarhu," just chazar, we're just reviewing. "Tama davarhu ki kol in yonei hakodesh mimkor chai yachayim heim boim." Because Torah comes mimkor chai yachayim boim. Torah is the Rebbeinu Shalom talking to us. It's the Mekor Chai Chaim Baruch Hu. Hashem, like the Tani explains, Barichas, Hashem, over there, Zayin, Ches, the Tani, that Hashem is mislabish, the infinite light of Hashem is mislabish, Hashem is infinite being, is mislabish in the Torah. And therefore, if you open yourself up to that and you ask to be able to have the permission to connect to that, and even though I'm not worthy of that, I'm asking you to help me to become more worthy, that a person is able to have this encounter. And a person is able to have this encounter, and when you meet Hashem, that changes you. That changes your life. It's not that's what it means. Shema peches is a rotsin. Shema peches is a rotsin. You can't be the same person if you. It changes. It's like when Elisha, when he met Eliyahu HaNavi, and Elisha was a farmer. He worked for his parents. He was just working, And in the farm, on the field, and Elisha said, let me just finish here to bring the food to my parents, and I'm going to come with you. And Eliyahu Navi says, Ma sisi lecha, remember? What did I do to you? I did something to you? Ma sisi lecha. And Elisha said, I'm never going to be the same. Ma sisi lecha. What did I do to you? Eliyahu Navi says, what did I do? I said something that was smart to you. Is that how Eliyahu Navi was kind of Elisha? And how is the Ishbosheth? How is the Ishbosheth kind of Abtzadik? That story you remember, right? How Abtzadik came to Ishbosheth. So Abtzadik also was a young man. He was the biggest genius in the whole Europe. And he was going around talking to everybody and learning. I heard this story from Reb Shlomo Freifeld. I didn't see it in a safe. I heard it from Shlomo Freifeld. I don't know where it's from. He said that, but you know that when Reb Tzadik wanted to have a het to marry Rabbanu, I think many of you know that, he didn't want to continue on with his wife, and it was a whole mice of him. She refused to receive a get, and he was going around meeting with the greatest Rabbanim in Europe to try to get their signatures to give him het to marry Rabbanu, to release him from the marriage. Seder. It was a very, very terrible parasha that he went through. But the advantage that Am Yisrael has is that as a result of that, he met all different Gedolim from all different parts of Europe. Very great people. He was exposed and he met and they met him. So he was dragging around the whole Eastern Europe trying to get these signatures. And they told him that there's a big tzaddik in Ishbis, Reb Marchi Yosef, there's a big tzaddik. And Reb Tzaddik was still he was still on his journey, and he came to Ishbis. And he went, when he came to the town, so it was, nobody knew who he was, you know, they didn't have any Gedolim cards or something. So he was just a Yid. He walked in, he didn't dress any differently, even though he was the famous Kohen from Lublin, the biggest genius, you know, they didn't know who he was. So he sat down, he went into the Bisa Medrash, he walked into town, he sat down, and he opened up the Gemara and he started learning. And he didn't come there, I think, to get a signature. He came there because it was along the way. And he sat down in his Medrash. I guess he was waiting for maybe to find someone that would give him a place to stay or some food. So he sat down to learn. In the meantime, a Yid comes over, and he walks over to him. He says, "You're the Kohen from Lublin." He said, "No." He said, "The Rebbe wants to see you." The Ishbis knew that he was there. So he said, "I'm learning." He was like that. So not now. So the guy comes back a little bit later and he says that the Rebbe wants to see you. He says, I'm not coming now. Then it came Shabbos, and Reb Tzadik and the Ishbitz had made a place for Reb Tzadik to sit down next to him. And he didn't move. He stood in the back. He wouldn't sit down at the table. It went like that Friday night, the whole tish. And it went like that. By davening, he stayed in the back. And it was Shalashudas, and the room was dark. And the Ishbitzu was saying Torah. He was saying Torah. And Reb Tzadik was in the back of the room. And all of a sudden, they started to hear screaming. The Rebbe is burning my heart. The Rebbe is burning me. He's throwing acid on me. He started to, like, howling. And they had to take him out of the room. And after Shabbos, they brought him in, they went into the Ishbitzah, and he was crying. And he said to the Ishbitzah, Reb Tzadik said, I don't have a heart. A seichel chabach, a mind, but a heart I don't have. And the Ishbitzah said to him, you have a heart, but stay here and I'll teach you how to enhearten your heart. I'll teach you how to be malaviv your life. Stay here. That's how Reb Tzadik came to Ishbitz. So that makes the Rogachev still even more beautiful, right? How much more beautiful? When he was an old man, he remembered when he was a young man and he was going around blowing the whole world away with his pilpulim, and how when he came to the Ishbitz, and they don't, what was the Torah that the Ishbitz said? No one else thought to scream, Gevalt, Gevalt. It was some, must have been the Ishbitz's Torah, are very, very beautiful. But the Reb Tzadik heard in that his entire existence, his being. And Mstama, it must be that the Izbis is set of a Torah that was specifically to get to the Kishkas of a Tzaddik, right? Must be. No one else knew what was going on, but the Izbis is screaming, the Reb Tzaddik is yelling, Gevald, Gevald, I'm on fire, help, 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 like a fire. That's how the Torah is learned. That's not with economics. That's not with political science. And there's still more to talk about Ketim Bez Hashem next day. God, how are you? It's good to see you. You're a good husband. I'm still living in the same